Okay. And this is, finally, after all the history, proposals for U.S. monetary reform toward a fourth branch of government. And as you can see, I've added the fourth branch, monetary authority, as the fourth branch. Don, why don't you read the themes?
Why not? Themes of Lost Science of Money Book. 1. Primary importance of the money power, that is, the power to create money and regulate it. 2. The nature of money purposely kept secret and confused. 3. How a society defines money determines who controls the society. 4. Battle over control of money has raged for millennia, public against private. 5. The misuse of the monetary system causes tremendous misery and suffering for the ordinary people. Willen Martin, February 2014. 6. Last but not least, whenever the public has owned a significant fraction of the money power, great public benefit has ensued. Sparta, the Roman Republic, the American colonies in the 18th century, greenbacks after the Civil War, Canada after the Great Depression, and British experience after World War II. Martin, July 2014.
Well, there are themes, and they're still going on in today in our world. That's what the book has been all about. So these are the parts of the presentation: an introduction, who is responsible, the misdiagnosis of America's problems, monetary reform is crucially needed, money's nature must dictate monetary reform, distractions from sovereign money, the gold promoters, the free banking ideologues, local currency or let's advocates, and the all money is debt faction. Government's responsibility to provide the money. 8. The AMI strategy, reforming the Federal Reserve System. And this week we'll do reform number 1, nationalizing of the Federal Reserve. That's the beginning of that reform. And then at the 20th of September, we'll do the rest of the chapter. Okay. And do the next one.
Who is responsible? Those in charge of the U.S. money system and their predecessors must bear a large part of the responsibility for this inequitable situation. They broke the banks in 1929 to 32 and would not reestablish the money supply except to make war. They proceeded to base the economy on the military-industrial complex for 5 decades, amassing many thousands of thermonuclear weapons, which could only be used if the Earth was being destroyed. The banking disasters of Penn Central, Continental Illinois, Franklin National, and the BCCI, among others, have kept U.S. banking fraud in the headlines over the years. The savings and loan scandals of the late 1980s and early 1990s were a direct result of their removal of government banking regulations and finally cost the American taxpayers over $100 billion to bail them out. That's Zarlenga. And more recently, the financial crisis of 2008 and 9, U.S. family lost $11 trillion in wealth in 2008.
Yeah. And they don't go to prison. Wow. I'll do the next one. Who is responsible? If the banksters and politicians pull through with their bankrupt America scheme, It is time to fire them for failing and do what Iceland did. So here's a tale of two financial crises, collapses. In the USA, there were zero criminal charges. This is 2008. There were zero criminal charges. The banks were bailed out, the executives were given bonuses, and there were millions of foreclosures. In Iceland, the prime minister was indicted. 200 criminal charges were placed against bank executives. The banks were allowed to fail, and they forgave homeowners debt exceeding 110% of home value. And Zarlanga said, it appears to be a pillar of the U.S. justice and quotes system that the banking crime connected with these disasters must go essentially unpunished. And their parliament came out with that wonderful report on sovereign money.
Yeah.
Very well written report, very easy to understand. I don't know what the next step is in Iceland, but I was very impressed with that report. And I saw the, I listened to on YouTube to an interview of the president of Iceland. And he said this thing that I really felt a lot about. He said, well, you know, people of Iceland had to make a decision. Were they going to decide for democracy or were they going to decide for the banks? And they decided for democracy, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that say about us?
Oh, yeah. Our minds are so, I feel like our minds are so twisted by all of the input that's mm-hmm. propaganda that's given to people and lies and never any mention of the truth of our money system. Yeah. And do the next one.
Misdiagnosis of America's problems. The nature of money is kept undefined and confused. Therefore, quote, the money system origin of so many of society's serious problems, end quote, are, quote, obscured. That's Zarlanga. And here we have this befuddled looking man looking down on a
maze.
A maze, yeah.
A dollar
sign maze. And the money secrets with Benjamin Franklin
eyes.
Peering out, yeah. His eyes. Is it a Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah. I think it's from a bill. It looks like it's part of the engraving on the paper.
A Federal Reserve note.
Yeah.
I mean, this is. The crux is that people in this country have no validation to understand money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I just find it incredible that we live in the midst of this system and none of us can identify that it even exists.
Yeah.
Don, do the next one.
In the 19th century, the system of money was discussed in national politics. Huge national movements of third parties, like the Greenback Labor Party, discussed the monetary system and made it the major issue. There's Peter Cooper's campaign poster and the national Greenback ticket that looks like a poster or something to get a beautiful young lady waving a flag, an American flag.
It's pretty incredible when you think back then, people talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they had feelings about it. They went to the polls about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't now.
No.
They think everything is their fault.
They do?
I think. People don't know who to blame, And they think, well, if the credit card interest rate is 20% or 24% or whatever it is, they don't think that that's villainy on the part of the bank. They just say, well, that's the way it is, and I brought that on myself, and whatever.
I want to do the next one.
Misdiagnosis, federal budget, and debt. The American public is told the government must balance income and expenses like a household. The government must either tax or borrow if it needs more money. So there's somebody examining this piece of paper about money. A look at the budget. Tax and spend, we have the Democrats, and the Republicans' policy is borrow and spend. So your fiscally irresponsible policies will run the country.
Ruin. That's the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Either you
the
tax,
only choice.
The only choice. This is what's in people's heads. The only choice. Federal budget and debt. But the government is not households. The government has the power and responsibility of issuing debt-free money for the public good, creating it and spending it for public needs. And on the left, in the U.S. colonies, all colonial legislatures issued colonial paper currency. The colonies thrived on this debt-free money. It was called colonial script. Nice, very powerful history, that is, of money.
So we do not have a digital system of money where they just had it in the accounts written down.
No,
they used currency to represent.
They used the paper script.
Totally.
Yeah. Lincoln funded the Civil War with congressional issued debt-free paper money called greenbacks, rather than borrow at high interest from the big banks.
That's real money. I hear the word real money, I think of greenbacks.
That's right. Doesn't go away when someone pays off a debt. And then sovereign money or government debt-free money creation is the book from Positive Money in London. Don, do the next one.
Misdiagnosis, the federal budget and debt. The current level of government debt cuts into the ability of our government